Someone asked me to talk about the fact that it was tip day on Sunday, so now everyone is flush with money, and whether you have to give Ma'aser K'safim and what some of the rules are about giving Ma'aser K'safim now that you have all this money. So first of all, it is a machlokas rishonim, whether Ma'aser K'safim, whether giving one tenth of your money to tzedakah is a din d'oraisa, a din d'rabbanan, or a minhag. What are we paskin? Minhag. We pass a minhag, but that doesn't mean we don't do it. Meaning, something that's a minhag, it's a pretty strong minhag. It's a minhag that's recorded in Shulchan Aruch, and it's a minhag that's even a machlok. We show them that some think it's a din d'oraisa, so it's a pretty serious minhag. So it's certainly something that we observe. What nafkamina, therefore, does it make? What difference does it make whether it's a minhag as opposed to a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? So the major difference is if a person is in a very difficult bind, if a person is in a difficult, more difficult situation, how much do you have to push yourself in order to be able to observe it? It's a din d'oraisa a little bit more, but even for a mitzvah d'oraisa, how much do you have to spend in order to do a mitzvah d'oraisa? A fifth of your money, which giving Ma'aser K'safim costs a lot less than a fifth of your money. It costs about half of that, right? But even if you're poor, you still have to do mitzvah d'oraisa. But if it's a minhag and a person doesn't have enough money to fully support himself, and he needs, obviously, if he's got a lot of extra spending that he's doing and he's not being careful, and I need all my money because I happen to, my standing order in Starbucks every morning happens to be a $7 drink, so you have to be with it, you have to be reasonable. You can't just assume that, if you set your standards of living too high, that you're potter from Ma'aser K'safim. So we definitely do have a requirement of Ma'aser K'safim, and certainly those that are that don't even have the burden of parnasa, that do not have to support themselves at all, like, let's say, 17, 18-year-old guys who are still being completely supported by their parents. And this money that they make and that they keep is not going to go to support them. It's just a question of, what extra things they might buy with their money that aren't really necessities anyway. So then it would be l'chora. It would be obvious to me that you'd be chayiv to give Ma'aser K'safim. So then the question is not really about whether you give Ma'aser K'safim. The question, it is a much trickier question, by the way, once you're married. Once you're married, it's no longer assumed that it's your parents' responsibility to support you, and the money that you make is going to be helping to support you and your wife. Meaning, it's not that your parent, the way it works for most people, that even people who get help from their parents, it's not that their parents are giving them the money that they live with, and whatever money they make is just being saved or just extra or whatever. Usually it's some combination. They're making some money, but not enough money to really support themselves, so the parents are supplementing and making it, being mashlim. So you're going to go give tzedakah, you're going to just decide to give away money, so that's going to increase the burden on your parents. That's a much more difficult child. That probably you would not have to give Ma'aser K'safim on someone else's cheshbon. We would always recommend you still give tzedakah, because there's a famous Rambam in the Gershom Mishnayos to Pirkei Avos, Hakol lefi rov ha-ma'aseh. Right, so what does Rambam write? Now let's say you have $100 to give to tzedakah, and you can either give $1 to 100 different people, $1 each to 100 different people, or you can give $100 to one person. Where's the greater impact going to be made? Greater impact? Definitely by giving $100 to one person. But what does Rambam recommend you do? $1 to 100 different people. Why? The act of constantly giving will train you to be a giver. And part of giving tzedakah is not just achieving the result of having tzedakah distributed, but it is the act of being a giver that you are training yourself in. So it is very important that even if a young couple is married and they're being supported by their parents or whatever, and they therefore can't give Ma'aser K'safim, it is very important that they do give something. I always recommend they should speak to the parents, get permission from the parents to give something, to give a nominal amount of money, so just so that they don't forget how to be a giver. Because one day, God willing, they're going to make money and they're going to be able to afford to give tzedakah. And if they're not in the habit of giving, they may neglect those responsibilities. A Jew should always be a giver. We should always train ourselves to be in that habit. But anyway, so back to us. our question now becomes not not a question of whether you should give Maaser Ksavim, but to whom? What do you do with the Maaser Ksavim? You know, let's say there's an organization that is close to your heart because, I don't know, let's say you're a big conservative or whatever, and, you know, so you want to give to the Republican Jewish Council or something. So is that okay for Maaser Ksavim? Is that a tzedakah? You know, you want to contribute to the campaign of, you know, a Republican senator. Is that Maaser Ksavim? Or a Democratic senator? Is that Maaser Ksavim? So probably not. I think most of us would probably assume that is not tzedakah money, right? It's probably tax deductible by American law, but it's not. I mean, we can't just follow American law in terms of our, you know, in terms of what's called a, you know, tax deductible contribution, in terms of what's going to be called tzedakah, right? So how exactly do we determine what's called tzedakah? So are there halachos, or do you just say, you know, whatever is closest to my heart, whatever I feel the closest connection to? So the Gra comments on the pasuk L'tichpos es yadcha, you shouldn't close your hand. That when your hand is closed, all of your fingers look like they're the same size, right? When you open up your hand, you see that that's not true. That, you know, pinky's a little smaller than that, right? You see that your finger's not, when it's closed, you can't tell that they're all different sizes. You open it up, you see that there are different sizes. So says the cross, similarly, we can learn the halachos of what comes before what, and everything seems to fit neatly. But when we get into the details of actually giving, we see that the world doesn't actually work that way. Meaning it seems like, oh, everything fits just perfectly. I'm going to learn the halachos of what to give and I'm going to give, so this comes before that, so therefore I'm going to give all my money here. But in the real world, it doesn't always work that way. In the real world, things don't always play out exactly in these neat categories. But it's still worthwhile to learn what those categories should be, so we could know where we're supposed to put our priorities. The Torah writes that Gabbai Tzedakah need to be people who are Chachamim, Nivonim, and Ne'amanim. They have to be Chacham. Why do they have to be Chacham? People who are in charge of distributing charity funds. Why do they need to be Chachamim? They have to know. They have to know the halacha. There are halachos. Why do they have to be Ne'amanim? What?
So they don't steal it.
They don't steal it, right? We have to make sure. You're trusting these people with community money. You have to make sure that they're trustworthy people. Why do they have to be Nivonim? What's Nivonim? What is Bina?
Understand it?
Yeah. So what's that? Why do they have to be Nivonim? So who do Chazal say have an extra level of Bina? Bina Yisera. What? Women, yeah, right. We're in Camp Kaylee, it's all boys here, but there is an entire 50% of the population that is endowed with Bina Yisera, right? So Bina is like a certain intuitive sense, a certain ability to make a judgment call. Now they've done studies of men's and women's relative abilities to read facial expressions. Like they show just eyes. I read this in Time magazine years ago, that they showed just eyes on a face. They covered the rest of the face, like a Muslim woman or something, right? You just see the eyes, and they ask men and women, is the person whose eyes you see happy, sad, angry, whatever? And the women were like, with like 80% accuracy, were able to tell you the emotion just by looking at the eyes. And men, like, I don't know, it's eyes. I can tell you if they're blue or brown or whatever, roughly, you know. But, you know, they get much harder. If you tell me you're happy, I'll know that you're happy. If you tell me you're sad, I'll know that you're sad. Right? It's a major shalom bias issue with men and women, because women assume that men are as capable as women at doing these things, and men assume that women are going to give them instruction on how to assess an emotional state. Like, how did you not realize that I was sad? You never told me you were sad. How was I supposed to know that you were sad? You know, it's obviously not so black and white. There are men that have some bina, and there are some women that are not so attuned to everybody's emotions. But you do find this in a broad sense. So Gabbai Tzedakah has to be not only a chacham, not only a neman, he has to be a navon. Why does he have to be a navon? Because there is a good amount of judgment that's involved. Everything I'm telling you now, I saw from my friend Rabbi Daniel Feldman, who's one of the outstanding Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva University. So, as we discussed, better to give, to distribute the money. So one thing, you know, let's say you made, I don't know, how, what does a person make in tips typically? I don't know what the numbers are. 600? 500?
Closer to 500.
Wow, Yisrael apparently had some generous generous
beer. Wow,
okay.
You also have to add the other salary.
And the salary, right. So what's your salary? So let's say you make $1,000. Let's pick a round number. You make $1,000 by the end of the summer. So you have $100 to give out. So the truth is $100 is not a terribly large sum of money to give out to tzedakah. But still, from the Rambam, it would seem better to not give it all to one place because you want to become a giver. So it would be nice if you gave, you know, $36 here, $18 there, right? That you distribute it a little bit more. Yeah.
If you really want to give it to one place, can you just give it to one place, but like, you know, 1 week, another week later, another week later?
So would that be a fulfillment of the Rambam? Probably yes. It happens to be the Maral and Rabbi Yaakov Emden disagree with that Rambam. They think, no, make the greatest impact. Quality is better. You know, there's a discussion Rabbi Yosef Engel has in one of his Svarim, where Rabbi Yosef Engel discusses, in general, when you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah with greater quality or a mitzvah of greater quantity, which one should you choose to do? The basis of the discussion is Ran and Maseches Yuma. Ran and Maseches Yuma discusses, you have the following case. You have someone who's a cholesh yesh bo sakana, and the doctor comes, right, dangerously ill. Doctor comes, doctor examines the patient, doctor says, this person needs to eat meat. Okay, that's what they need to eat. That's their, they'll have a refuah if they eat meat. It's Shabbos. Okay? The person needs to eat meat. So what do? You check in your fridge for meat. Ah, the only meat you have in your fridge is nevela. It wasn't shechted. It was that you went hunting yesterday, you killed a cow, you have nevela meat in your fridge. I don't know why you have nevela meat in your fridge. You can't ask kashas. But you have nevela meat. The only meat you have in the fridge is nevela. Okay, so that's an option. The person's dangerously ill. I'm allowed to give him nevela. But then you realize in your backyard, you have a cow. He's mooing still, right? He's alive, but you have a cow. So what's your option? I could shecht the cow. But it's Shabbos, right? So do I feed the... or does the chola himself, does he eat nevela, or does he shech the cow and eat kosher meat? So what would you say? The rule is, machil noso akala kal tchila. You always give the lesser iser. If they can equally provide a therapy, provide what he needs, you give the lesser iser. Which one is the lesser iser?
Well, you're shechting it because there are a bunch of steps along the way to getting that meat that are also in the
That's the lesser issue you're saying?
No, so the
greater issue. Yeah, Shechting L'chor is the greater issue and would therefore be a problem. Because Isser Nevela is a los assay. You're not allowed to eat Nevela, you get Malkus for it. It's a los assay, right? The Isser of Shechting on Shabbos? It's a Malach Daraisa on Shabbos. What do you get from Malach Daraisa on Shabbos? Skila. So Nevela would be much better, says the Ran. Yeah, that's if he needs to eat one piece of meat. One kazayas of meat. What if the doctor says you need to eat a kazayas every hour for the next 10 hours? Now which one is the preferred iser to violate? See, if you shech the animal, all the meat's going to be kosher now. It's one time iser. One iser skila. If you eat a kazayas of nevela every hour for the next 10 hours,
10
iser. So the Ran quotes from Ravid, better to shecht in that case. Why? You have the opportunity to violate an iser with greater quantity or an iser with greater quality. Quantity will outweigh quality. Unbelievable. So based on that, Rav Yosef Engel says, I wonder about mitzvos. You have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, greater quantity or greater quality, what would halach be? So one of his rayas is this Rambam. I can give $100 to one place, greater quality of tzedakah. Or I can give a dollar each to 100 different people, greater quantity. So he says, maybe according to this Ran, B'Shem the Ravid, it fits with the Rambam, that the quantity of the mitzvah would. But he has like 20 rayas, and you know, 12 of them go one way, 8 of them go the other way. You know, Lamais, in the end of the day, it really depends on how high quality the quality is and how high quantity the quantity is, and you know, the nature of the given mitzvah. But it happens to be that Rav Yaakov Emden and the Maral think that quality outweighs quantity. And besides, by the Rambam, Rambam's not necessarily a raya, because, like we said, the Rambam was about conquering your Yetzer Hara. It's not about the schar you get for the mitzvah. It's about making sure that you remain a certain kind of person, that you remain a giving person. So it could be that that Rambam is not a raya in general about Kmatvihar's quality. But certainly the Rambam is a raya when it comes to tzedakah, because the Rambam's talking about tzedakah. Right? So certainly the Rambam is a raya when it comes to tzedakah. The Gemara in Erevin says that if you give all of your truma to one kohen, you're mariv es ha'olam. You're starving the world. Why? Why is it bad for the world? And we pass it this way in Shulchan Aruch. If you give all of your tzedakah to one person, it's not right. There are other poor people that also need. So that's another reason why we don't give all of our tzedakah to one place. It could also be, it depends on what the purpose of tzedakah is. Why do we give tzedakah? So it's a machlokas of the Gemara Mabasra Davyud. Machlokas between who? Ternus Rofus HaRasha and Rabbi Akiva. Right? So you might say, well, I'm on team Akiva. Right? I don't want to side of Ternus Rofus HaRasha. Machlokas Ternus Rofus HaRasha and Rabbi Akiva. Ternus Rofus HaRasha challenges Rabbi Akiva. He says, Rabbi Akiva, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Aniyim so much, why doesn't he give them money? Reasonable question, no? Hashem loves the Aniyim. If he loves the Aniyim, you know, God is very rich. So let him give them money if he loves them so much. So Rabbi Akiva responds, you think Hashem told us to give tzedakah because he can't provide for them otherwise? Hashem told us to give that, or because he wants to provide for the Aniyim? No, if he wanted to provide for the Aniyim, he could do it. He's going to provide for the Aniyim. There are just two ways he could do it. He could do it through us, or he could do it himself. Right? So Rabbi Akiva says, he does it for us, to benefit the giver. To lahatzil osanu midina shel Gehenim, to save us from Gehenim. So you could argue that if the purpose of tzedakah is to provide for, so then you give as much as you can to provide for a person. But if it's just to save me from dina shel Gehenim, so then I should give to as many different people as possible so I could build up as many mitzvot as I possibly can. You can make the argument the other way as well. But anyway, this is machlokas in the Gemara Maseches Bava Basra. Or, you know, let's say you're a gabbai tzedakah. Should you still distribute it evenly? It's not your mitzvah anyway. It's the mitzvah of whoever gave. It may make a difference over here. If you're a gabbai tzedakah, if it's to spiritually train yourself to be generous, you're not allowed to do that with other people's money. Meaning, if the guy's going to get a greater mitzvah by giving it all to one place. But the only reason we recommend spreading it around is so that you could be trained to be generous. Well, if you're the gabbai tzedakah, you can't train yourself to be generous on that guy's cheshbon. When he's giving the tzedakah, he can train himself to be generous because that's worth it. But you can't do that on his cheshbon. But if it's for the greater good, and it's about providing greater good society and spreading it around provides a greater good, then the gabbai tzedakah could do it also. The Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch that Gabbai Tzedakah also has to be careful about what the contributors to the Tzedakah Fund are going to think. That they shouldn't think that he's giving everything to one place and that he's like in cahoots with that person, that he's taking care of his relatives or his friends or whatever, that the Gabbai Tzedakah is doing an honest, that he's ne'aman, that's why you have to have ne'aman. So who gets? Who gets? Where do you give tzedakah to? What's the first priority? What? So Aniyei Eretz Yisrael is a priority. It's not first priority. It's a priority, but it's not first priority. First priority is Aniyei Ircha. Aniyei Ircha Kodim. The Aniyim in your own town come first. The Panim Yafos, the Afla, is a comment that influenced many of the Chassam Sofer's Tshuvas on tzedakah, that rule is qualified, that it only applies when the needs are equivalent. If Aniyei Ircha are as poor as Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, then Aniyei Ircha come first. What happens most often in America is that, yes, there are Aniyei Ircha, usually not as poor as the Aniyei Eretz Yisrael. Some of the Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, I mean, they don't have a refrigerator in their homes. They don't have, like, basic needs. They don't have clothing. Oftentimes, Aniyei Ircha You know, in the 5,000 far away community, we certainly have aniyim, but they're not those kinds of aniyim. Right? They have a refrigerator in their homes. They have blankets, you know, to cover them at night. Different levels of aniyim. So that's also an interesting twist to it. Some suggest that a disabled person should come first because they suffer more. Right? If their disability causes them to be more needy. So maybe they should come first. So ani yircha come first. Rav Shachter points out that ani yircha doesn't always mean aniyim. That ani yircha, I'm sorry, it doesn't always mean ircha. It doesn't always mean in your city per se. It could sometimes mean those that are closest to you. So let's say you're giving tzedakah to Hachzakas HaTorah, which by the way the Shulchan Aruch says is a very high level of tzedakah, to give to strengthen Torah. So you're not giving to actual poor people, you're giving to a yeshiva. So there's a yeshiva 2 blocks away from you that you never set foot into and no one you know it learns there, but it's a yeshiva that's in your city. And then there's a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael where you spent 2 of your greatest years of your life in growing and becoming who you became in that yeshiva. So which one is Ani Yircha? So Rav Shachter points out, L'chora, the one in Eretz Yisrael is Ani Yircha, because that's the one that talks to you, that's the one that's close to you. And that would qualify as Ani Yircha. Relatives come before other people. Why? Why do your relatives come first? It's the same thing. They're closer to you. That which is, it's, you know, some people think that it should be the opposite. You know, that the greater mitzvah of tzedakah is to give to those who I have the least connection with. Because otherwise I'm just taking care of myself. But no, the way one becomes a Baal Chesed is it starts at home. It starts with those closest to you and then it expands out. Rav Shimon Shkap has a beautiful akdama to Sefer Shari Yosher. Sefer Shari Yosher is a very heavy lumdus sefer. Not at all an easy sefer. But he's got, in the introduction to the sefer, he writes a very feel-good kind of akdama. A very beautiful akdama that anyone can learn. And he writes that the idea of being a Baal Chesed, he says, is expanding your ani. That it all starts with ani, it all starts with me. Right? But who's my ani? If my me is just me, then I live in a very tiny world. But if me means me and my wife, ishto kibuvo, it's a little bit bigger. If it means me, my wife, my children, my family, my immediate family, then my ani is a little bit bigger. He says the goal is to expand your ani, to expand your definition of self. That all of Klal Yisrael matters to me, but it has to start somewhere. So it starts here and it goes out. And that's why the first priority in tzedakah is make sure you have what to eat. And that's why the Gemara says you're not allowed to give more than 20% of your money to tzedakah. Why? Shema ye'ani, you might become poor via tzarech l'brios. Okay, I might become poor. Why is it better that I'm poor than that guy's poor? And why is it better that guy should be poor than that I'm poor? Yeah, it is better because your first responsibility is to your core ani, and then it goes out from there. So that reflects itself in the halacha. As Rav Shimon Shkap writes, he says, you know, Hashem. There are many, many Mamari Chazal that tell us that a great skula to become wealthy is to give tzedakah. Aser bishvil shetis asher, give maaser so that you'll become rich. Melach mamon, the preservative of money, chaser, is to give some away. Right? Lots and lots of Mamari Chazal about giving money away being a segula for wealth. That seems completely counterintuitive. Why? If you want to have money, you know what's a really good idea, it would seem? Keep your money. If you keep giving it away, how are you going to have money? Right? Would you say, oh, great school to become rich is spend uncontrollably? No, that's a stupid idea. You're not going to become rich that way. Sometimes people become wealthy by investing wisely. How are you going to become wealthy? By giving away. Says Rav Shimon Shkap, you view it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu perspective. Here's how you view it. Imagine you have money to invest. We'll close with this. Imagine you have money to invest. So there are 2 guys you can invest with, 2 investment people. One of them is the nicest guy. You love him. He's fantastic. But he keeps on losing all your money. He's the worst, you know, at investing money. So you gave him $1,000 to invest, and the next day it was all gone. The other guy is a little bit of a jerk, you know, he's a little bit of a, you know, not the nicest guy. But man, is he a magician with investments. You give him $1,000, next week it's $2,000, and then, you know, a week later, it's unbelievable. He just keeps on, when you have another, you know, $10,000 to invest, who are you going to give it to? First guy or the second guy? Second guy, obviously. So says Shimon Shkab, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't divide up wealth based on how big a tzaddik you are. Unbelievable. You could be the nice guy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could love you. But if you don't know what to do with money, you don't take care of the money that he gives you the way he wants you to, he entrusts you with this money to take care of poor people. If you don't do that, even though you do everything else right, you're a big tzaddik, you're a wonderful person otherwise, he's not going to trust you with more money. But if you're a person, even if you're a little bit of a jerk, and you're not so good about davening, and you're not so good about learning, and you're not so good about a lot of other things, but when it comes to money that Hashem has trusted you with, you've given to aniyim, and you've taken care of your monetary obligations of tzedakah, Hashem is going to trust you with more money. So giving tzedakah is a very, very critical thing. It's kedai to train yourselves, like the Rambam says, and start when you're young, as soon as you have any money, to train yourself to give. And to make sure that when you come into money, like when you have tip day, or when you have, to make sure that you give tzedakah properly. Okay.